You're listening to Now I've Heard Everything, interviews from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s with voices from the past.
You know, it's not easy to have Western value, to have been brought up with Western value and to have the name associated with terror and destruction.
Osama bin Laden's former sister-in-law, Carmen bin Laden, today on Now I've Heard Everything. I'm Bill Thompson. Well, married to the mob is one thing, but imagine you married into a family whose very name was associated with terrorism. Swiss-born Carmen bin Laden was once Osama bin Laden's sister-in-law. Her marriage to his half-brother Yaslam actually broke up several years ago, and she emphasizes she had nothing to do with the September 11th attacks. In fact, she says she only met Osama bin Laden twice. And in fact, her 2004 book, Inside the Kingdom, wasn't even about Osama bin Laden, but it was about life for her and her daughters inside the strict Saudi Arabian culture and her efforts to free her daughters from it. Nevertheless, when I spoke with her, she was candid about the family, the culture, and Osama. So here now, from 2004, Carmen bin Laden.
Let me ask you about a rumor that had started and has been circulating since 9/11, and that is the rumor that your oldest daughter was in New York, got advance warning, left in a hurry, and scampered out of there to Switzerland before the attacks.
That was a terrible rumor that, you know, it's untrue, because the bin Laden family had been rejecting my daughters for more than 10 years because they are too westernized. And Wafa was studying in New York, and she graduated from Columbia University in May 2001 and came on a holiday in Geneva. And she was in Geneva when that happened. And my daughter, they don't have any contact with their father or any bin Laden member of the bin Laden clan whatsoever. And that's really, I'm happy to put the record straight. They don't have any contact with them, and they could not have been tipped off.
This must be, these last 3 years have to have been absolutely torturous for you, you and your daughters, to try to go through daily life with the name bin Laden. This has to be a terrible time for you.
Yes, this is a very, very difficult situation and position that my daughter and I, we are in, and because, you know, it's not easy to have Western value, to have been brought up with Western value and to have the name associated with terror and destruction.
I think at one point I saw in some interview that you compared your situation to Hitler's relatives. I mean, many of them changed their names after World War II. Why didn't you want to change your name?
Because, you know, even anybody who changed the name, when the name is so unfortunately notorious, then there is no escape from that name. Then the truth always come out, and people would realize that actually they are bin Laden, and maybe they will think that we had something to hide. Then it's better that we do state that we are bin Laden, but we don't share the same value with the bin Laden's clan, and we are a Westerner. We have been brought, and you know, we are here, and in Switzerland, my eldest daughter is American, and we have nothing to do with that mentality.
Well, in fact, anybody who reads your book will realize you've only met Osama a couple of times.
Exactly. Exactly.
And he does come across as a very, very religious figure, a very strict man in your book. Has the family shut him out, or is he still a welcomed brother?
Well, you know, knowing that society and the way I have analyzed it, it's very difficult for me to believe that, you know, in the Saudi culture, that they would cut all ties, emotional ties, with a brother on the ground that he's too religious.
Now, you also said in the book that you fear that when Osama dies, there will be 1,000 men to take his place. That sounds like very bad news for the Western world.
I hope I am wrong, but my understanding and my analysis is that he's not alone. And I think we have to realize I am, you know, like every Westerner, I am worried that, you know, what will happen next.
Let me ask you also, Yeslam has been quoted in a news story this week as saying he saw Michael Moore's movie, Fahrenheit 9/11, and he says he enjoyed it. Have you seen the movie?
No, I have not seen the movie.
He says that there were just a couple of inaccuracies about the Bin Laden family, I'm guessing
there is so many contradictions on what Yeslam says and what he had said. You know that I have been following most of his interviews, and there are a lot of contradictions that I don't understand.
You know, you and your daughters are suffering for things that you had nothing to do with.
Yeah, but me and my daughters, we are, you know, really westernized, and we have my daughter have not ever had any tie with that culture, contrary to my husband, who has a very strong tie with his brothers and with that culture.
In the end, are you glad you wrote this book?
Yes, because I had always told my daughter that I will one day explain my perception of Saudi Arabia to them, and to explain to them why did they had to go through such an emotional turmoil, and why I made some decision on their behalf that put them through that turmoil, and I owed it to them to explain my perception of that society that. And that, for me, the best gift I could give them was the gift of freedom.
But you
freedom
don't,
of choice.
But you don't hate Saudi Arabia, do you?
No, I don't hate Saudi Arabia. You know, it's I am just making... I see Saudi Arabia this way. This is what I saw in Saudi Arabia. It is how they are. It's, it's not a matter of hating or not. I didn't want that for my daughter.
After this short break, Carmen Bin Laden explains why she had to get her daughters out of Saudi Arabia.
Start your day with Now I've Heard Everything.
We post new episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time.
Subscribe now so you'll have something fresh to listen to and get your day going.
Now back to my 2004 conversation with Carmen Bin Laden.
Maybe pointing out what your book is not. This is not a book about Osama bin Laden, is it?
No, it's not a book about Osama bin Laden. It's a book about a mother who fought very hard to give freedom to her three daughters.
Why did you feel that you needed to write this book?
Well, I had always told my daughter that one day I will explain to them why I took some decision on their behalf that which made their life quite difficult and a struggle, because my eldest daughters, you know, for more than a decade, they have been since their childhood and to their teens, they have been with me in a long struggle to gain their freedom, moral freedom.
Yes, many people probably don't realize that your fight with the Bin Laden family began long before September 11th. Are people only now beginning to see your side of the story?
Yes, I think so. You know, I think before that my fight was quite private. It was against a very powerful man and a very powerful clan. And I fought to give my daughter, to bring up my daughter with Western values, to give them, to enable them to have the freedom of choice, to be what they wanted to be, and as women.
This is, I gather from reading your book that this is not something that you expected when you first married Yeslam. I gather you anticipated a more or less westernized kind of life.
Yes, when at the beginning I was hoping that this society will evolve and be more open and more, more freer for girls. Then as the time passed, and I did realize that as a mother, as a Western mother of two daughter, at the time I had only two daughters, that I would not be able to bring them up with the Saudi culture, and I run the risk of making rebel out of them in Saudi Arabia.
I can only imagine what must have been going through your mind when you first arrived in Saudi Arabia in the 70s. It must have been quite a shock for you.
Yes, it's something to hear about it and actually to live in it, because, you know, at the time Saudi Arabia was not had not still the infrastructure and all the things that they have today, and it came very quickly in the end of the 70s. Everything changed. They did have a huge step in modernism in the matter of material wealth and comfort. But I did realize that the value and their culture was so strongly inbred in them that it was very difficult to shake that.
Would things have been different if there had not been a revolution in Iran in 1979?
No, I think it goes behind it that, you know, there was a little bit of permissiveness before that, but it was on superficial matters. But for the deep of the thought, it's in the culture that it's very, very strict on the, and very, very based on the Wahhabit Islamic system that is very conservative.
Well, when you first arrived there, I, from reading your book, it sounds like you were shocked to see that half of the population was kept behind a wall. There were no women that you could see.
No, women would stay in their house, and, you know, we would visit in each other's house. But I remember the first years, even when we needed to shop, we would never go to a shopping. Everything was brought in the house. Then slowly, they opened, shopping center, and women could go there, but they always go wild, and, you know, it's still under the restriction that you have in Saudi Arabia.
Now, the Bin Laden family had enough money, though, that you were able to take regular trips to Europe where you could be more westernized, but then you had to go back and wear the veils again, be behind the wall. It must have been a terrible double life you had to lead.
Well, I did have a double life, but what was what my biggest worry was about my daughter, what would the future as a woman, as an adult, will reserve for them, and as a Bin Laden, because I was a foreigner, and, you know, I was considered a foreigner. Then there were things that it was easier for me as a foreigner to do that it would have been later on possible for my daughter.
You tell in the book about a birthday party that you threw. First of all, you weren't even supposed to have a birthday party, I gather.
Yes, some of the sister did tell me that you were not supposed to have a birthday party for your daughter, but I went ahead and I did it anyway.
But I gather one of the other little girls who came to the party was already veiled at age 9, and you were thinking, oh man, this is not good.
Yeah, I remember very vividly that incident because, you know, she was nearly the same age as my eldest daughter. And when I saw her arrive there and I realized that, you know, pretty soon Wafa would have to wear the veil. And I remember vividly that I had a spang in my heart because, you know, for me it was difficult to accept.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't help wondering. I mean, you've had a lot of interviews recently with Western media. Do you think women in the West really have any sense of what is going on in Saudi Arabia?
Well, I think if we look around, we see there is more a lot of Middle Eastern and especially Saudis who are well. This is something I noticed in Geneva when I walk on the street that. You know, compared to the past, there are more and more young Saudi girls who wear the hijab, and this is their prerogative. But I wouldn't want that for my daughter. You see.
You also said, you've said in interviews that the Saudis, at least the wealthy Saudis, are basically the Taliban in luxury. How did you mean that? What did you mean by that?
I mean, you know, Saudi women, they can own property, they can deal, they have a financial freedom, which is true, but they don't have the moral freedom that we see it as Westerner, you know, a moral freedom. A Saudi woman is always under the tutorship of a male relative, and she cannot travel outside of the country without the authorization of a relative. And, you know, as a Western woman, one of my biggest fear was that what would happen to my daughter if something happened to Islam and they become under the tutorship of a brother who would be more religious than my husband was at the time.
If you had started divorce proceedings in Saudi Arabia instead of Switzerland, would you have ever seen your daughters again?
No. I fought very hard to keep my daughter here, and as a lot of Westerners married to Saudi who have been gone through a divorce, They know very well it's nearly impossible to keep your children. They keep it and they keep it there.
And you are still, is the divorce battle still going on?
Yes, it's still going on. Ugh. It has been a long, long struggle.
But at least your daughters are with you.
Yeah, this is the most important thing. They are with me and they are free to be what they want to be.
Carmen Bin Laden is 69 now. Her divorce from Yeslam was finalized in 2006. 2 years after our interview. Now, you can get a copy of Inside the Kingdom by Carmen Bin Laden by tapping on the link in our show notes or by going to our website, heardeverything.com. We may earn an Amazon commission if you make a purchase. And heardeverything.com is where you'll also hear my 1988 interview with another mother who rescued her daughter from an oppressive culture. My interview with the author of Not Without My Daughter, Betty Mahmoudi.
Well, I knew that I was taking my daughter's life in my hands. I decided that both of us are better off dead than to live the life we were living, so we'll either make it or we'll die trying.
And my 1993 interview with someone else, once married into a powerful family, Ivana Trump.
I have a great confidence, and I know that I'm young and I'm healthy and I'm not poor. I have three beautiful children and I have a great education. And I'm not lazy. I like to work. I always will be able to support myself no matter what.
And of course, we post new episodes of Now I've Heard Everything here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And you can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts. And thank you so much for listening. Next time on Now I've Heard Everything, an unusually frank memoir from an unusual politician. My 2003 interview with former Arkansas governor and senator Dale Bumpers.
He believed in public service. He always said that's a place where you can do more for your fellow man than any place else. And he really instilled that in us. So by the time I was 8, 9, 10 years old, I was going to the courthouse lawn to listen to every politician that came through.
That's next time on Now I've Heard Everything. I'm Buell Thompson.